Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's how our epistle this morning from the letter to the Hebrews opens. And it got me thinking about faith. And I found myself thinking how faith can sometimes be challenging, maybe even difficult. And how often when we think about faith, particularly in times of challenge or difficulty, we might think we need to do things. We need to work hard to make our faith become stronger. We may need to do certain things in order to deepen our faith. Sometimes we may find our faith being shaky or not as reliable as we like, and we can put pressure on ourselves. But the author of the letter to the Hebrews is telling us very succinctly something about faith. That faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It is the conviction of things that we cannot see. And so faith is rooted in hope. It is rooted in that which is not visible. And the author of this letter is writing to a community in the latter part, the very end of the first century. And it's a Christian community in a culture that is not Christian. And they are struggling with their faith. And they are finding around them a world which is hostile, which even sometimes persecutes them. And so the letter is encouraging them to accept faith as this gift from God and as this hope in what can't be seen. To illustrate what faith looks like, the author lifts up the example of Abraham, whom we also hear about in our first lesson this morning. There's Abraham, who has no descendants, and yet God says, "Your descendants will be many." And Abraham has faith in God, but Abraham also has a relationship with God where he can say to God, "I don't see how that's going to be. Right now, I don't have an heir. How can you say my descendants will be many?" But then God says, "Look at that sky. Look at all those stars. Your descendants will be that many, more than you can count." And Abraham trusts. Just as Abraham trusted when God said, "Go, I'm sending you on a journey." Didn't tell Abraham where he was going, where he would end up. Abraham is able to set out in faith, trusting God, trusting what he can't see. And he lives by that faith. He lives rooted in the hope of God's promise. Ultimately, I think the letter to the Hebrews is teaching us that while we can think we have to do a lot to be people who have a strong faith, the author is actually telling us faith is a gift of God. It is a gift of God's unconditional love. It begins with God, not with you, not with me. We can't earn it. We can't make it happen. But instead, God loves us unconditionally and then offers us the chance to respond. Offers us a chance to respond to that promise of God to always love us by living lives that are rooted in acts of love and justice. To live as God would have us live. To live rooted in that love that God has for us and making that real for those we encounter. Now this faith in God, the letter to the Hebrews tells us, allows us to cope with the challenges and the difficulties of this life. Faith means living not by what we see, not just what's around us, but by something more. Living rooted in God's kingdom, though it's not here yet, at least in fullness. But living with the promise that it breaks in every now and then. And living with the promise that we will come to it at the end of the age, and by death will come to dwell with God forever. For the letter ends, the passage this morning ends, telling us that our homeland is in heaven, in that city God has prepared for us. And so live rooted in that hope, trusting that we will dwell with God forever. Just as those first hearers of the letter to the Hebrews, so we too live in a culture that is not always in line with what Scripture teaches us, with what Jesus would have us do. For living by hope, trusting in things not seen, can also put us at odds with the culture around us. You're probably not surprised to hear me say that we live in an age of great fear. I started making a list of sort of all the things that we are told to be afraid of, and I stopped because there are so many of them. They include things like, be afraid of terrorism, of war, of the economy, of climate, hunger, poverty, of racial tensions, of gun violence, of those who are different from us, of refugees, of Islam, of disease, of death. You get the point. Messages all around us from the culture telling us to live by fear. There's much to be afraid of. Protect yourselves. Keep yourself safe. And then there's the gospel, where Jesus opens today's passage by saying, do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So there's Jesus telling us to not be afraid, to live by what we cannot see, just as we hear in our epistle. Fear of this life, about the state of our world, is not our call as followers of Jesus. For we need not fear because God desires to give us the kingdom, has the good pleasure, the gospel tells us, to give us the kingdom through no merit of our own, not because we earned it or deserve it, but because God loves us and gives us the kingdom as a gift. And not in some future distant time, we can think about the kingdom as being that place we go when we die, but rather in the here and now, in this very moment, in our very lives. In Greek, the verb tense used for divine pleasure in this passage is a particular tense found in Greek, which means a completed action in the past. This desire of God, God's good pleasure to give us this gift, has already happened. It is ours now in this present. It's not just in some far-off future. So God's decision is to give us this gift and to delight in giving us this gift. And we are called to live in the reality of this gift. And so we live by that gift in this present, living even now in God's kingdom as it breaks into this realm. And that's living by hope. It's living trusting in God and trusting in what we can't see. And it's not living by fear. Living by fear tells us, let's hoard everything, keep our possessions to ourselves. I may need these later. Fear tells us to close ourselves in and focus inward, to not be open to those around us. But Jesus says in today's gospel, sell your possessions and give alms. Don't hold so tightly onto life. Life is not about those material things, but sell them. Give alms for the care of the poor. Living now in God's kingdom allows us to respond not from the ways of our culture, a culture which preaches fear and greed, but allows us to challenge that very tendency to hold on, protect, withdraw, look inward, and instead look outward. It calls us to live trusting that God provides all that we need. And it calls us to not let our material possessions take over our hearts and our lives, but instead to be free to live in the kingdom, which means loving and serving as Jesus does. Ultimately, we're called to place our trust in the imperishable, those things of heaven, of the kingdom, things that can't rust, that moths can't eat, and that thieves can't steal. For Jesus tells us, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, just before this passage, we don't get to hear it in our Sunday lectionary, is a beautiful passage where Jesus teaches not to be worried, not to live by worry, but to trust in God. And you may know it. It's that passage where Jesus talks about the birds of the air, how they don't sow or reap, and yet they are fed. About the flowers who don't toil or spin, and that they are more beautifully arrayed than Solomon. And Jesus says, if God cares for them, how much more will God care for us? And so don't strive for things. Strive instead for the kingdom of heaven. Some 30 years ago, I knew an elderly Baptist minister, a very wise man. And he was diagnosed with a terminal illness. And he knew this illness was not treatable, and it would, in a few months' time, take his life. And one day he and I were talking, and he quoted that passage of the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. And he observed how faithful God was in caring for all of creation, the birds, the flowers, you and me, and even him. But he also observed that though God loves and cares for all parts of creation, we also all die, and he knew that he would. But that passage for him strengthened his faith in God to know that no matter what happened, and even in that time of death, God would hold him and God would love him. No matter what happened, he was confident that he was God's forever and would come to that heavenly city. Faith does not mean that bad things don't happen to us, even terrible things, and certainly even death. But it does mean that God is with us, that God's promise is strong and trustworthy, that the God in whom we place our hope is reliable and will not fail us, and that God loves us and always desires to share the kingdom with us, and even prepares an eternal dwelling place for us. The second half of our gospel this morning has Jesus urging us to be ready for action, to be ready to go, to have our lamps lit. I was surprised when I read that. Here we are in these lazy days of summer, the time where to relax, to be refreshed, and yet we have these themes of Advent coming into our liturgy. Be ready, watch, be vigilant. And then that good news that Jesus says when the Master returns, he prepares a banquet and serves those who are faithfully waiting for him. Jesus is calling us to be watching and ready, for God desires to prepare a place for us, a banquet where God feeds us, a banquet where God serves us. Sometimes we can think about the return of Jesus at the end of the age as something perhaps a bit frightening. Jesus is coming to judge the living and the dead. But this gospel passage reminds us that Jesus desires to return and to bless us. And so we need to be alert and ready and watching so we don't miss that moment, so that we are ready to receive that blessing. So God desires to share with us God's kingdom and calls us to be rooted in hope and things that we cannot see, and then to make those things real in this moment, that God's kingdom can break in moment by moment, even into this age. And then God promises that all we need to answer that call is given us through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that we are set free of fear. We are set free to love and to serve all in God's name. And we are assured of the promise of coming to the fullness of God's kingdom, to dwell forever with God in the New Jerusalem. As I was thinking about this sermon, I found myself thinking of words of W.H. Auden. And so I'd like to close with a quote of his from For the Time Being, a Christmas oratorio. Auden writes, "He is the way. Follow him through the land of unlikeness. You will see rare beasts and have unique adventures. He is the truth. Seek him in the kingdom of anxiety. You will come to a great city that has expected your return for years. He is the life. Love him in the world of the flesh, and at your marriage all its occasions shall dance for joy." Amen.